In the animated movie Ice Age, anybody see Ice Age? You don't have to raise your hands. In the animated movie Ice Age, saber-toothed tigers attack a tribe of nomads, and a mother and her baby attempt to outrun these man-eating beasts, but are concerned about a raging waterfall. The little boy, he is discovered by this big woolly mammoth named Manny, a sloth named Sid, and a saber-toothed tiger named Diego. And these three unlikely companions, they set out on a common mission to return this baby to his father. So as the trio treks through a mountainous terrain of ice and snow, carrying the baby, the mammoth, sloth, and tiger, realize that they're on this erupting volcano. The heat of the lava melts the glacier bridges on top of the ice fields, separating Diego and from the others. So isolated on a quickly melting island of ice, Diego jumps to reach the others, but falls short. Dangling from the edge of the ice field, his grip falters, and he falls. Manny, unwilling to let Diego perish, leaps into a chasm after him and tosses the tiger upwards to safety. Diego, realizing the danger involved in the rescue, is moved by Manny's compassion, courage, and sacrifice. "Why did you do that?" he asks. "You could have died trying to save me." Humbly, the mammoth responds, "That's what you do when you're part of a herd." Amazed at the circumstances that brought these three together, Sid muses aloud, "I don't know about you guys, but we are one strange herd." Strange herd. Now, some of you might be offended. No, I'm not referring to us as one strange herd. But it is looking a lot like community. We talk a lot about community, don't we? And that's what it is. It's these three people have become a community. And they're walking together. They're living together. They're doing life together. And I love the comment, "That's what you do when you're part of a herd." That's what you do when you're part of a community, is you care for one another to that level. What comes to mind when we talk about community? What comes to your mind? Is it the place that you live in? Is it a place that you work? You know, there's various definitions or ways we view community. Church is often referred to as community. But what comes to your mind? When we hear church referred to as community, what picture comes to your mind? What is the purpose or the benefit of doing life in community? We're taking a bit of a break from our series in Jeremiah, and we're looking at this just because of today is the kickoff Sunday. We want to look at community. What does it look like to live in community? What does the life in community actually look like? Is community one large body, or is it smaller groups of people getting to know each other on a deeper level than we can know each other as a group of 400 people here today? Today we want to look at how the early church modeled life in community. And we'll look at a few different things. We'll look at, first of all, passionate that they were passionately devoted to Jesus, his word taught by the apostles, his church, and his mission. Secondly, we'll look at their passion. Their passionate devotion led them to respond with extravagant generosity. Thirdly, we'll look at their passionate devotion enabled them to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we'll look at their passionate devotion built them up to endure the persecution that was going to be coming their way in a very short time. And then we'll look a little bit at, what does that mean to me? What does that mean to us? Before we read Acts 2, 42 to 47, let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example. As we're looking at Acts today, we thank you for the example of this church that is born and in miraculous form and in miraculous order. But there's so much that we can learn about a church in this passage. We can learn so much about a community in this passage. So God, would you teach us this morning? And Father, through your Holy Spirit, would our lives be changed because you have spoken to each one of us through your word today. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. If you have a different translation than the NASB, that's okay. You can turn there anyways. There's a couple of things that I want you to notice in there, and I want you to circle them or highlight them or do something with them so you take note of them, and that is this word all. I didn't look at all the translations, but the NASB, the ESV, and the NIV, they use the word all. So notice that, take note of that word all in as we go through this passage, starting at verse 42 in Acts chapter 2. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all, there's one, verse 44, and all those who believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, that's the model of the early church doing life in community. And initially, in verse 42, they were talking about, I'm using this word passionately devoted, and I know sometimes we don't like to use that word passionately devoted because now we're thinking, okay, what does that even mean? What is it, is that a level up? What do I have to do? If you're a gamer, you know what, maybe that's not even a term anymore, to level up or something like that, I don't know. But you know, that's something beyond me because I'm not that passionate. I don't, you know, I'm different than that. But in verse 42, it says, as we read this, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were devoted. And so in Greek, that word devoted carries the meaning to be persistently obstinate, to firmly adhere with, single-minded devotion. So there's a single-minded purpose. All of these other things fall by the wayside. There's something that's happening here. So passionately devoted isn't necessarily meaning that we're the guy that's jumping around and doing things at the street corner or the person that has 10 different Jesus Fish bumper stickers on their car or wears a Jesus Fish shirt every day of their life or has a cross around their neck. No, not saying that that person isn't passionate about Jesus, but those aren't the things that necessarily make us passionate about Jesus. Jesus, actually, in the Bible, he spells it out what it looks like and what it means to be passionately devoted to Jesus. Let's read Luke 9:23. And he was saying to them, here's that word all again. He was saying them to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must, notice that word there again, there's a strong word. He must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What does it mean to be a passionately devoted to Jesus, to be a passionate follower of Jesus? It means that we have died to self, died to doing our own will, died to doing our own thing. Single-minded devotion. There's no more me, in a sense. Me is dead. We talk about the death and the new birth, right? Daily. There's this word, hang on to this word. Man, I'm giving you all kinds of words to hang on to. But they're important words. Daily, there's this word daily, and it's repeated over here in Acts 2, it's repeated. Day by day, on an ongoing basis. Here in this verse, Jesus tells us, and take up your cross daily and follow me. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the NLT says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. right? We're dead to me. That part is gone. There is no more me. We are a new person. We've become a new person in Christ. The old is gone. A new life has begun. Daily, we need to recognize, die to self, because there's that indwelling flesh that rises up, and we, in our prideful ways, believe that we can somehow only do it every other day. But the scripture clearly tells us many times, do these things day by day, daily, because we, God knew we would struggle with these things. It's important for us to know. We have been raised to life in Christ. We now have a new master, and we seek to follow him, and we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Transformation from death to life. So it's not being the person that sometimes we see as the radical. I can't do that because I'm not that radical. But passionate devotion to Jesus isn't necessarily being radical, because that's not who every one of us is. But it's denying self every day, following with single-minded devotion Jesus every day. And let's look at the early church, how it profited them, how it benefited them to live life day by day like this. And you're thinking, some of you know this account, you'll be pushing back, well, I can't do that. I work, I go to school, I do all these things. Hold on. Let's allow Jesus to speak to us today. The church in Acts, they're a community of believers who experienced the transformation of Jesus Christ, and it impacted each one of them at the very core of their being. It transformed every area of their lives. It transformed how they lived with their husbands or wives. It transformed how they lived with their children. It transformed how they lived with their relatives. It transformed how they lived with, how they did life in community with the church. It transformed how they did business, when they took education, or everything they did. It impacted when they were cooking, and whatever they were doing, looking after their daily needs. It impacted every area of their lives, because Jesus had transformed their lives from death, despair, to life and joy and incredible victory. It impacted how they served, how they treated other people. Their miraculous transformation led them to passionate devotion to God, his word, and his mission. I believe passionate devotion is knowing the importance of being in the word of God, walking in unity, and praying continually day by day. The question we need to keep in mind today is this. Keep this question in mind. Am I a passionately devoted follower of Jesus? Am I, as we looked at that definition, am I single-minded in my devotion to Jesus? Am I daily walking to serve only Jesus, because I'm a new creation, transformed by the power of Jesus? So let's look at the church in Acts as these followers of Jesus modeled passionate devotion. What does it say as we look at Acts 2:42 right in the beginning? It talks about they were passionately devoted to Jesus, his word, that were taught by his apostles, his church, and his mission. Now, one thing we can't assume is that all they did was meet together, give up all of their lives to do just church. We can't assume that, because it talks about they were eating together. And so eating together, what? It requires work. It requires cooking together. It requires having meat together. It requires all of these things, taking care of a garden. And so there was obviously a level of work that was involved. So it wasn't just about that they gave up everything and they sat down in a commune and all they did was worship Jesus. That's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about is as they did life in their everyday circumstances, how they did, whether he was a farmer, whether he was a guy that made cutlery, I don't know if they had cutlery, whatever he was or she was, they were doing life in community, in all of life. It included every aspect of their lives. Daily lives, that daily life continued. However, they were so passionate in love with Jesus and couldn't get enough of hearing about the truths of God's word and expressing those truths to others as they did life, that they lived their lives day by day. And I believe that the success of the early church hinged on four activities that we see in that first verse there in 42. It hinged on the four activities: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And it's through these activities that community and the community life that their growth occurred. It occurred in their spiritual, in their own spiritual growth and maturity, but also grew in numerically in the church of Jesus Christ. So first of all, the first activity is the apostles' teaching. Teaching is so important to the life of the church that when Paul gave the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy 3:2, only one of those qualifications was related to a person's ability, and that is that an elder must be able to teach. The other qualifications had to do with character, behavior, and a person's reputation. They're all good qualifications, but one hinged on an activity of teaching. Near the end of his life, Paul encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:14. He tells him to continue in this, to continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And from childhood you have known the sacred writings, the teaching of God's word, which are able to give the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:31 in the Amplified, Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples." The importance of, and this is talking daily, they were passionately devoted to the word on a daily basis. These words abide in us by our knowing them. How can they live in us? How can they abide in us except that we know them? Except that we believe them? Except that we remember them? Persevering in the observance of them. The effect of being passionately devoted to the teaching of God's word is that they purify us. And fruit is produced in the life of the believer. They were devoted to the teaching of God's word and to the second activity that's listed there is fellowship. They were devoted to God's word. Why? Because it was so beneficial to their lives. The second way, they were devoted to the fellowship. Fellowship is the spiritual duty of believers to stimulate each other to holiness and faithfulness. It's most specifically expressed through the one another's of the two of the New Testament. Remember Dan's line that he uses, one another, that's what we're talking about. One another, each other, as we love one another, as we honor one another, as we live in harmony with one another, as we are at peace with one another, as we serve one another, as we carry one another's burdens, as we exhort one another. Some Bible scholars believe that this church in Acts that we're talking about here in Jerusalem grew to be as large as 50,000 people. So doing life in smaller community for the early church was important. But you can't do it in a tight-knit group to get to know somebody in a group of 50,000 people. Building relationships in community was so important. And although they were a part of the large gathering, they were devoted to fellowshipping together in smaller community groups where they could interact personally with each other. One of the things that I've seen and one of the things that God has laid on my heart is that we do life in community. And what does that look like? And I've seen examples of that over the past number of years and recently. One of the things that I consider to be a group of community, people working together, is you look at Our worship team, as they work together, they're getting to know each other, they're building relationship together. The tech team at the back, I've just seen the joy and the love that those guys have, and they're interacting with each other, they're getting to know each other, they're sharing their passions, their strengths together, they're gifting each other with some pretty cool things, because it's about building relationship, building community, getting to know others better. In our VBS this past year, one of the things that was really cool to see was the community of teachers and volunteers come together, and they were a community doing life together through VBS, through a busy time. And one of the cool things was, it was so cool to see that one day, in one of the devotions, I mentioned, you know what, we need to look after each other. We're part of this community. We need to look after each other. And if somebody's having a challenging day, go ask them or encourage them, because we're part of the same community. And this young lady comes up to me, and she said one day, she said, "How are you doing?" But it was more than just a, "Hey, how are you?" The thing that we say passing. It was because we were beginning to be part of a community. A guy was passing me in the hallway one day, and he said, "Do you need to hear I love you today?" And I said, "Yes, I do." It was powerful. But it's part of building community. When we're struggling, when we're going through things, that's what community is for. And we can't do that in this large setting. They couldn't do it in a setting of 50,000, and we can't do it in a setting of 400. It was doing life together. It wasn't simply getting together and playing games or watching the football game. Those are all absolutely crucial, I believe, to building relationship. Those are good parts. But if it stops there, what do we have? We just have little football clubs, or we have little gaming clubs, or that. We don't have the fellowship of getting into God's word. What has God been teaching you? What are the struggles that you have because of God's word has been convicting you? That's what living in community is about, is getting to know each other through those other activities. But then being able to sit down and talk with one another about what's going on in our lives. There was accountability in this early church. They were working together. They were raising kids together. I mean, you try cooking for these, you go to a family's house and you try cooking, well, there's kids there. You're looking after each other's kids there. You're cooking together. You're working in the same kitchen. Maybe you're swapping groceries. "I ran out of flour. Can you bring me flour?" I don't know what they run out of in those days. Can you bring something over? It's exchanging stuff, doing life together. In our mission statement is this: create communities where people are transformed by Jesus. That's ongoing. That's not just talking about transformed at salvation. It's ongoing as our lives are transformed as we get to know Jesus, as we grow in our maturity. One of the things that under that, how do we achieve that, is through the Word of God. Secondly, it's through getting real about life. Get real about life, doing things together, being very transparent. If you're living day by day, side by side, eating meals together, looking at Scripture together, taking communion together, you get to know each other pretty well. It's pretty hard to hide things when you're together that often. Being in community like this, we get to know each other's joys, victories, and sorrows. Knowing our strengths, our weaknesses, other people knowing them, we knowing other people's weaknesses and strengths, and building them up in light of all of that, all of life. That doesn't happen in large groups. It happens in smaller, intimate settings. Where can you get connected in church to become a part of a community? There's lots of ways. Men's night's happening tomorrow for guys. Connect classes is beginning on the 26th. Simon talked about life groups. One of the things we need is we need leaders for life groups as well. Is God laying it upon your heart to build into a community and doing life together? This fellowship that the early church had touched every part of their lives, their worship, their fellowship, their food, their finances. It impacted absolutely every area of their lives. And they were devoted to the teaching of God's word, to fellowship, and to breaking of bread. Fellowship and breaking of bread is the third activity in verse 42, and I believe it refers to regularly taking the Lord's Supper, having communion together. In Acts 2:46, it says this, where you can see a little bit of a difference between taking communion and eating together. In 2:46, it says, we see that not only were they breaking bread together, but having meals together as well, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Here we see the evidence of their fellowship going far beyond playing games together, going fishing together, cooking meals together, farming, whatever they were doing in life. They were taking the Lord's Supper together, having communion with one another in their households. And I believe it was because of their devotion to Jesus, his word, and his mission that led them to remember the Lord's Supper, to remember what he did to transform, in order for their lives to be transformed. And they used this as part of their intimate fellowship in each other's homes as they were doing life together. They were devoted to the teaching of God's word, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and fourthly, to prayer. They were devoted to prayer, and they engaged in it constantly, day by day. They knew the necessity, they knew the value of praying. And the prayer here in view here is not only the individual people and believers in the church, we're talking about corporate prayer here as well. We're commanded to pray at all times. Be devoted to prayer. The first church knew the critical importance of pursuing spiritual disciplines, being in the word, fellowshipping, praying together. They knew the church must be made up of Jesus followers devoted to studying the word, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Those elements are the unique expression of the life of the church. They're the means by which grace by which the church becomes what God wants it to be, what his vision is for the church. Their passionate devotion to the teaching of God's word, to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer caused them to respond with extravagant generosity. It caused them to respond with extravagant generosity. We get scared of this word when it's mentioned in church. Because when somebody, the pastor, talks about extravagant generosity, they want more money. That's where our minds go, right? These people were extravagant with their finances, with their possessions, but with everything. Their time with God, their time with others, their time in the Word, their time in prayer. They were generous with their time as it applied to God's kingdom. They were generous with their time as they would eat with others, take meals with one another, listen to each other. Listen of the struggles, listen of the hurts, listen to the joys and all of life that's going on. Parent together, making meals together. They were generous with sharing with all who had need. There's that word all. They were generous with each other, generous with their time. They were generous in the aspect of being vulnerable to share their weaknesses and sorrows and our strengths. Generous with just opening their lives up and allowing people to see who they are because they wanted to learn and grow together because Jesus had transformed their lives. Their passionate devotion to the teaching of God's word, to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer led them to passionate devotion that enabled them to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church grew, and it grew because the apostles were teaching and preaching, but I believe it grew because when people looked into this community of believers and saw them doing life together, to walking in unity together, to having worship times together, doing everything together, and seeing the beauty of it, and recognizing that it's from the transformed lives, I believe people got saved because of that. I believe others' lives were transformed because they saw what was happening in this community. Their passionate devotion to God, his word, his mission, his church led them to be able to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ to others, whether it was in their actions or how they lived out their lives. And they were doing this daily. There's that other phrase to keep in mind, day by day. Don't neglect it. It's a daily thing. There was an attractiveness to this church. There was an attractiveness to this community. Does our church, does our community groups in church, our friend groups, does it model a group that would be attractive to an unbeliever that they would see, I want to live like that because those people are different. Their lives have been transformed. I want to live like that. Do our relationships draw in the lost? Their passionate devotion to the teaching of God's word, to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer was in response to God's transformation in their lives, and it prepared them for what was coming. It prepared them for what was coming. This church was born, came into fruition, whatever, in around 30 AD. And around 33 AD to 37 AD, in that short window of time, what happened? We see this church, they had everything in common. They were meeting together daily. They were doing all of these things. In three short years, persecution began to impact this church, so much so that a large population of this church scattered. The people were being persecuted. If they had not been in preparation, how would they have handled the persecution? How would they have been handled being separated from the fellowship of the others? How would their spiritual disciplines of being in the Word, praying together, have impacted their time when they were separated and persecuted? Oh, what a drastic change! It prepared them for that. It built up relationship groups, community groups that may be scattered together. It prepared them as they had people praying for them, whether they were together or not, because they had built relationships with each other. Their passionate devotion built them up to endure persecution. And it fulfilled God's mission. In the beginning of Acts, Jesus tells the disciples, he says, you're going to go to preach the word in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. Well, they preached the word in Jerusalem. This persecution is what led God's message, the gospel, to be able to be spread to Judea and Samaria. God's will is being accomplished. God's will is being accomplished. They were prepared because they prepared themselves by being in the Word of God day by day. I know you're probably tired of hearing that, but we see the importance of being in the Word of God day by day. Even though this church was scattered, they endured because of their passionate devotion to the Word, to each other, to church, and generosity. I want to tell you a story of an Old Testament guy. And the two very opposite ends. When he was passionate, just the incredible passionate devotion to the Word, to God, his mission, caused him to see God in a whole different light. But when he slacked off, was not devoted to the Word, there was terrifying results that not only impacted him, but they impacted families, and it should have never happened. And it was because he was not devoted to the Word of God continually, day by day. He came to a place where he wasn't supposed to be, and things happened that should have never happened. This young man's name is David. You remember the story of David and Goliath? He was passionately devoted to God. David is this young guy who's coming up, and he's a shepherd, and he's a, you know, I can do this. No one else is willing to do this, but I'm willing to do this. No one else could defeat him, but he was willing to go up against this giant. Goliath, he was this tough guy. No one wanted to fight him. No one wanted to have anything to do with him. Well, here's David, and look what David, his devotion, look at David's devotion to the word of God, to follow God and to honor God above all else. In 1 Samuel 17:45 to 47, I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. David, he's addressing the Philistine at this point. He's going to take him on. And he says, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies." You see, this is at the point where he was passionately devoted to God, his work, his word, and his mission. The God of the army, he goes on to say, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." You see his confidence in God? It was a daily abiding in the presence of God that gave him in the confidence to trust in God. Look what happens when that changes, when that passionate daily devotion goes away. Fast forward, this is David as a young shepherd boy. Fast forward to when David is a king in 2 Samuel chapter 11:1. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 1 says, "It was springtime when the kings go off to war. However, David did not go. He sent Joab off with his servants." David wasn't where he was supposed to be. Where was he supposed to be? Off to war. That's what kings did. Go off to war. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He saw something he wasn't supposed to see, and he acted on what he saw, and he should have never done. And it cost a lot of people something they should have never lost. So he should have been off to war. Had he been where he should have been, he would have been never been looking when he saw Bathsheba taking a bath and lusted after her and then acted on that lust. It all started when he stopped spending time with God daily, being where he should be. It's where it all ended. It's where it all went downhill. What happens when we stop spending time daily devoted to the Word of God? Look in your own lives. I look in my own life. And I know that. I recognize how quickly that can go. I want to wrap up with this question. Do you believe? Do you even believe? Do we believe that it's possible to be passionately devoted to Jesus? Or it's even required of us in our day and age? Is it possible to be passionately devoted to Jesus? I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible to be passionately devoted to Jesus. I'm not saying I'm there all the time. I struggle with that too, being in the Word of God every day. It will look different for everyone. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to go to school. And we have other responsibilities, so it's going to look differently at different stages of life for everyone. It may mean we make significant changes in our lives. What is a priority in our life? If we desire to be passionately devoted, and I believe believers do. I believe all believers want to be passionately devoted to Jesus, but we're scared to take this step in a sense. It means getting into the Word takes priority over the snooze button to social media or whatever it is that consumes our time. Maybe it's more than just clicking on a sermon so that we don't have to go to church, but that's clicking on a sermon, watching a sermon isn't, or even just coming here once a week, that's not passionately devoted to Jesus. It's not passionate devotion to God, his work, or his mission. Because we're missing out on building community. We're missing out on the day by days, the one anothering one another day by day. Worship team, why don't you come up here at this time? Our mission statement, as I said earlier, and as Pastor Simon mentioned in the video, our mission statement is create communities where people are transformed by Jesus. That's our vision for church, that lives, our lives are transformed by Jesus day by day. That's our vision for Connect. That is not just a place where we send our kids so we can be free for an hour Sunday morning. We can go hang out and have coffee or sit in a class and be taught. That's not our vision for Connect. Our vision for Connect is it's a community where kids can build relationship together, where teachers can build relationship with students. That's our vision for life groups, that we can make, create communities where people are transformed. You saw Brad, he talked about what it has meant to his life to be able to speak into the life and be spoken, have life spoken to him from younger people, people in different life circumstances. What about Mums Group? That's our vision for Mums Group, that it's a building a community, youth ministry. It's building community where people build into each other's lives. That's only to mention a few things. Grief share. These are opportunities to create communities with people who are going through similar things and to be able to build in each other's lives. It's in these smaller settings where we begin to connect on an entirely different level, building into each other's lives, building each other up. Pat and I have begun several relationships where we're intentionally, friendships, where we're intentionally trying to live out this model. When we're connecting more than, yeah, there's some football games that are watched. Absolutely. There's some fishing trips that happen, like yesterday. It's good fishing. But you know what? People are getting to know my struggles, my weaknesses. It is so incredibly hard. You know what the incredible thing about it is? They love me anyways. When they get to know me at the core of my weaknesses, of my flaws, it's really humbling. They love me anyways. Man, my church, my desire is that each one of us gets into a group, gets into a community of people where that's how we do life together. We know in the last year and a half, that's been a struggle. But if we have small groups where we can connect, we've done that on different levels throughout this past year, Pat and I. We've met in parks with people. We've met with Zoom. We got to know this amazing couple who got married in Germany, Valum and Kerstin, and we got to know them, and when they landed in Canada, when I saw them, I hugged friends because we got to build community with them. And it was, yeah, it's different, but it was about building community with them. There's so many benefits. People get to see the real us. It's really freeing. We can get rid of those false appearances. I love that. I don't have to try to fake it till I make it anymore because people know that I'm flawed. It's okay to be honest with my struggles and appear needy to people. It's okay that I don't have it all together. I'm challenged in my wrong thinking. I watched less TV. It's always productive. When I can watch less TV, I believe, and build relationship, community, fellowship in God's word. I love it. Here's a big one. When we spend more time with other people, have less private time, less time where we can close that closet door, there is less opportunity for sin to creep into our lives. That's huge. Allow others to be blessed when we can serve them in their homes. Share things that are really deep, even if it talks about
financial issues. Maybe we've made some bad choices, but being able to share about those bad choices and everybody, we just love each other regardless. The benefits far outweigh the challenges. I asked this question earlier. Am I a passionately devoted follower of Jesus? I want to challenge you with that question. I want to lead you with that question. I want to leave this challenge with you. You may have plans to run out of here right after the service, and that's okay. You may not have time to stay for lunch. But if you want to connect with people, if you want to get to know people and people to get to know you, this might even be out of your comfort zone to stay for lunch with us, but I invite you to stay for lunch with us. Get to know people. Allow them to get to know you. Consider Connect. Consider the different ministries, getting involved, life group. See Pastor Simon or any one of us pastors, in fact. Am I passionately devoted to Jesus, His church, and His mission? Let's pray. Lord God and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the church in Acts and how it is the model, gives such an incredible model for us. Because God, we don't know what's coming 6 months from now. We don't know what's coming a year from now. And Father, I want to be prepared for whatever comes in 6 months. And you prepared this church. This church was prepared because they were passionately devoted to God and to Jesus and to His word and His mission to each other. And from that, they were able to be prepared when persecution came. God, prepare us for what's ahead. Prepare us for what's ahead tomorrow. I don't know what's going on in anyone's life tomorrow. Prepare us for what's there. I pray that we would be so passionately devoted to your word that when crisis comes in our life, we are prepared. Father, I pray that you would bless our time together as we fellowship from here. Father, if there's anyone that would like to connect and is afraid, God, I pray that they would just have the courage. Would you give them both the desire and the power to stay and hang out and fellowship together with someone in church today? God, I pray that we would desire to live in community, to be transparent with other people, because we desire to grow closer to you, walk in community, and live in community. I pray that that would be our heart's desire. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for speaking to us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.